from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's the inflatable grimace.
Oh, is it? Wouldn't you just love to have a nice pick and pop it here?
No, I'm not a grimace popper. Are you a grimace popper?
I would love to do it.
What did I just listen to?
You listen to Keith Hernandez turn into a Dexter psycho.
Yeah, what?
He wants to stab Grimace.
I thought that was going well.
It is, but now Mets fans are wearing inflatable grimaces into the stands. So that was an actual grimace. That was inflatable grimace. Yeah.
Okay.
And Keith Hernandez has visions of stabbing it. Right?
What in the world? He's going to pop the grimace. The Mets. I thought that I was going to say. That was going well. What do we need to go after Grimace for? Any of them? It's Jeremy and Joe. How's your morning going?
It's going well. It's going well. I'm doing some, you know, getting ready for the show and all that for a couple hours. It's my last show until training camp, so.
Last show until sitting down at St. John Fisher.
Yes. Last show until Rochester golf season. I mean training camp. yeah.
Until hyper-focus on every single movement that a wide receiver makes
this
season.
Might as well call July 24th is Keon Coleman Day. It wasn't the mayor of Rochester. Just go ahead and declare it now, right? Because we're all going to go there day one. Yeah. Keon Coleman Day on July 24th. I want to go see him catch passes and see him do his thing first day of camp.
Isn't that going to be all of them, though? I mean, Coleman more than everybody, but, like, I'm Samuel, right? And
isn't the hope or belief that in an ideal scenario, I guess you're right, it doesn't matter which one does this way, if it's Coleman or Samuel or anybody, but last year's entire training camp was about Dalton Kincaid every single day looking like, oh, this guy's great, and they're not spoon-feeding him. He's part of the offense, and he's obviously very good. Best-case scenario or ideal scenario is that Coleman has the same kind of camp, right?
Yeah, definitely. You want him to look like a pro right away and someone that's going to start right away.
Yeah.
So that is 3 weeks from today.
Three weeks from tomorrow.
3 weeks from tomorrow.
Today's Wednesday. No, you're right. It's Wednesday.
Today's the
24th. Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry. 3 weeks from today. Yeah.
All right. 3 weeks from today, Jeremy's next show, and we'll be sitting down at St. John Fisher and getting our first look at the wide receivers on the field there. I opened the show today on the style they're going to play, the Sabres. What did you see my poll on this a little bit earlier?
No, I did not.
Like, where we've kind of done this with the Bills with like their offense. Where do you think the Sabres are going to rank in goals scored this year?
Middle.
Like, they were 23rd last year. They were third the year before that. I don't even know if I want to extend that to the middle. I mean, they were bottom 10 last year, and they are going to, I think, play a very defensive style. Isn't everything kind of point to that? That they are going to try to lock it down, and they're going to be tougher to play against. And they have lost offense, especially if you compare to the team 2 years ago. They've lost offense, and I don't really think they've replaced it. Like, I think middle would be a good outcome for them offensively.
Probably. Yeah. Middle. That'd be my guess, middle.
Right now...
Aren't they often the middle at a lot of things?
They are. I mean...
And what sets them apart 2 years ago was they were great at scoring. And that was a story. They were great at scoring. Last year, the thing they might have been best at would have been... I mean, penalty kill was good last year, right?
Okay. Penalty kill was good, and the goaltending was good.
Yeah,
and I think they're going to... I mean, you've mentioned that Luukkonen's like one of your three individuals that needs to perform next year. That's like most critical to that. And I might add Levi into that because he's going to play more than a third of the games, I think, unless James Reimer beats him out. So the goaltending might have to be great all year without any tripping up because they're going to try to win games 3-2. They were trying to win games 5-4 2 years ago, and they don't have. I don't think they have the horses to play that style, even if they wanted to. So, I guess that the way they want to play, the way that they're trying to go about this, it's not confusing to me. How did we end up here? How did we end up that we're back to okay? Let's kind of play the let's be the hardest team to play against. Like the Ted Nolan teams. Like, we're just going to try to do that again? I don't want them to lean too much into that, and it feels like that's what this whole offseason's been about so far.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, how do we end up here? It doesn't feel like they've been really far off of this at any point, ever, really. Outside of 2 years ago scoring the third most goals in the league. But when they brought in Kruger... They wanted to play a very defensive style. I mean, he turned Eichel into a guy that was defensively minded and took Skinner off the ice. So who knows who leads this charge? But, you know, the it's funny, your poll you put up there, everybody expects anywhere from 10th to 32.
Yes.
Pretty much. It's all like somewhere in there.
Right.
Somewhere in there.
Like, would it be – it would be – I mean, by the poll it would show this. It would be stunning if they were anywhere near where they were 2 years ago.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, third, of course. Yeah, that'd be a shock.
Like,
big time.
Eighth would be stunning. Maybe.
Yeah, they'd make the playoffs, probably.
Yeah. 803-0550, Ron quickly at Alden on this. What's up, Ron?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Really interesting is our coach, because Lindy Ruff, when I watched him when he took over the team in the 90s, we had Dominic Hasek, so it was like, get a goal and play inside our blue line the rest of the game. And then 05-06 coming out of the lockout, he totally changed his style. It's like he's not a one-style coach where you can get, like, certain coaches, you know exactly what you're going to get. So it really does depend. And like you said, it depends on our horses. I mean, if we get our power play going and stuff, that can make the team so much better too. But it's just not knowing what Ruff wants to do is interesting. He's not like a one-style coach. So a lot of it's up in the air, I think, right now. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks, Ron. Well, I would say that if they hadn't gone out and added the players they did. Right, like I could get to, okay, maybe they want to keep it open. Maybe they want to, you know, his previous team was very much a, hey, let's fly up and down the ice. And maybe they were more consistent in their own end than the Sabres were. But we're going to fly up and down the ice, speed, skill, youth. Like, let's go score a bunch of goals. That's what his last team did a lot of. So, you know, I don't want to just assume, right, he's going to come out and play the trap every single night either, but I think it's definitely not going to look like it did 2 years ago. And I'm treating that, or I'm reading into that based on the moves they've made that says that, more than even the coach himself. Because like he said, the coach plays a bunch of different ways. But we've ended up on Lindy is the thing. Lindy is going to be the determining factor as to what type of team they are this year, how good of a team they are. And he won't be polarizing. Like, I talked earlier a little bit about Adams for this. How acceptable of a defense is the players don't want to play here? And how appealing I was talking with our boss Alan about this the other day. Like, is it getting more and more appealing to Sabre fans to just bring in the dinosaur, old hockey executive, your Brian Burks of the world, that's just going to come in and what? Give them some semblance of credibility in the hockey world again? And is that going to make people feel better about, you know, their ability to make moves?
Nothing will matter until they win. I don't care. Like,
long ago, who the GM is?
No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter now.
So then you would...
Joe, 2 years ago, everybody was happy again. We're not that far. It's important to remember, we're not that far removed from Levi's first 7 games where we were clinging to the television every night thinking, they might get in. They're kind of good. And then last year was a disappointment. You know, there's a little bit of... You know, Bill's droughtology here going on as well, right? Where during the drought, the weight of the drought itself overshadowed the present moment. And that's probably happening now. Without trying to be rose-colored glasses, because I assure you, I'm not telling you everything's going to work. But the weight of the drought is overshadowing the current moment. 2 years ago, they were a reasonably good team. And even last year, on goal differential, if you want to use that, which a lot of people like to use, they were better than 2 playoff teams in the East. So, I don't know. They're not that far away. Their goaltending, they have 2 reasonably reliable goaltending options now, whereas 2 years ago, they almost made the playoffs with nothing there, just guessing. Last year, the goaltending came into form, and the rest of the team fell off. So, I mean, I'm kind of in a spot where I get why the criticism of is there, and it's justified, but the weight of the drought is overshadowing the current moment, in my opinion.
Isn't that, though, to say, then, in a way, that nothing, that there's no way, you can't evaluate Adams then, right? Like, isn't there?
Oh, you definitely can. He's been part of, this is his 5th year. You can definitely evaluate Adams, but well, again, I just think the weight of the drought is overshadowing the moment.
Right, but if nothing matters really until they win, and they're in this spot where they have this inability to make moves because they're not a credible organization, they're not a credible destination even on any level to players around the league, and the 2 things they needed to add the most this summer, they didn't, and that they wanted to add the most, they didn't add, probably because they haven't been able to, or part of the reason is they're not able to. Well, now, isn't the only way they ever win, which is what we're waiting for, draft develop? That's it. Like, I just got to do that over and over and over and over again until it works. And then suddenly, like, how good are you at making trades? How willing are you to make trades? Like, all of that suddenly goes out the window, doesn't it? Isn't now just the whole thing, we just have to hope they nail a couple of drafts in a row, because that's the only way they're going to get back to the playoffs, the only way they're going to get back to, you know, being a team that can convince good players to come here.
I don't buy that they can't make moves. I wouldn't give them that. They can definitely make moves. I mean, it's not as easy as it is for some other teams, but no. I mean, why would anyone buy that they cannot make any moves? Why would anyone believe that? Because 22% of the league has no trade clauses? That means you can't make moves? I mean, if you're doing that, you're giving them a pass. So I think they can make moves. I think they've been inactive to a fault. They were under Botterill as well. So it's up to the GM. And again, it is July 3rd to say they couldn't get what they wanted to. They might get it tonight. Am I optimistic about that? Not necessarily, but you know, the offseason remains in progress, and I absolutely think they can make moves. I saw a list of players that are not trade protected, and maybe they would be unhappy, but you know, like Brady. I'm sorry, I always mix up the Kachuk.
Brady Kachuk.
You could trade for him. You could do it. You might have to pay Ottawa something crazy, but you know, you can do it. Nothing's stopping you from doing that except Ottawa not accepting the deal.
See, that's where I think that's – maybe this is where the GM – this is where you could criticize the GM, the comment he made yesterday and whatnot. Is he asking all of these players, do they want to be here? Like, I wouldn't want to care. Like, is Brady Kachuk – I got to look at his contract. Does he have any trade protection? He doesn't?
He does not.
Okay, he has no trade protection. I wouldn't even talk to him. Just trade for him. He's under contract for 4 years. Just go trade for him. Go work out a deal with Ottawa and go get it done. And then when he gets here, then you figure it out. And it feels to me, the way the GM talks, that he's got a list that he's going through with each trade. And like, okay, I got to figure out the price. What am I willing to give up? I got to talk to the GM about it. And then on that list of things he's got to check off before he makes the deal is I got to check in with the player. Like, I got to figure out what's the motivation of the player. How badly does the player want to be here? And I feel like that should just not even be on the list. Because I think that might, maybe that's internally getting in the way of him making deals. I'm just trying to figure out, like, what is the reason that it's been this long, that they haven't made moves. They talked like they finally wanted to do it. Their words said that. Their actions haven't yet. And the two things that all the insiders were saying they wanted for 2 months leading up to the offseason, through the two biggest events of the offseason so far, haven't been accomplished. Is it that the player doesn't want to do it? Is it that the GM cares too much about it? Or is it the GM is kind of hiding behind that? What really is going on is he doesn't want to pay the prices it costs.
He doesn't want to pay the prices. That's part of it. The other part of it is the entire league is relatively stagnant and does not really trade that much. It's consistent. You can, you know, if you've ever watched the NHL, there is a life cycle. It is at the trade deadline. You know, that's more of a move we make at the draft. That's more of a draft trade. And then the draft comes. Well, we're going to want to see everyone falls into free agency, and then free agency happens. Well, maybe something a little closer to the season. Then you get into the season, and you're back at the deadline. Like, it's a league that is, I mean, the Sabres are maybe most guilty of anybody here, but it's a league of a lot of inaction. When you sit here and watch the NBA, the best player in the league gets traded 5 times in 5 years. And in the NHL, it's like, whoa, look at this, you know. Gergen's sitting on it. That's not a good example. I mean, Stamkos did just go to Nashville as a free agent. That's relatively big. And this was a pretty big free agency period. But, you know, by the NHL's own standards, it's just it's kind of a league of stagnation to some degree with off-season movement.
What do you think their over-under is going to be for points?
78.
78.
I don't know, 84. I don't know. I don't care.
78.
what should it be? What was it the year after the tank? It was 76.5, and they beat it.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was 76.5 after they tanked.
76.5.
Eichel's rookie year was 76.5.
Last year it was 92.5.
Okay.
And the year before that it was 77.5. Yeah, let me go back.
77.5, and they went to 91.
And they went to 91.
Yeah.
You mentioned the year after the tank, they were. I've got them at 75.5 that year.
Okay. I mean, I was off by a point.
Yeah, 75.5. Man, it's just how likely is it to work? How likely is it for this to? I don't know. A year from now, I'm just so curious. Like, if it goes well, everything's great, right? I mean, we're on cloud 9, and there's no talk of anything about the GM or the coach. Like, we're all in delirium if it's gone well. And if the season starts even, like, 2 weeks in and they're 4-7-1, just, I don't know, like, mid-season move, people are going to want that. I don't think they're going to get it. But I'm just very curious about what, you know, What are the consequences of the season not going well again? Because the odds are going to tell you it's not likely. And I feel like after this, if they don't make a move, that's the if, between now and then, I feel like I'm going to want to bet against them this season.
All right. I don't know what the consequences are. I'm not sure I care. Right? Like, what, am I going to pound the table for somebody else? Who? I'm kind of in the same spot on, like, replacing Adams as I am on Sean McDermott. I just don't know that the owner wants to in any circumstance. I mean, obviously their resumes are very, very different right now. But
yep.
I mean, who would I pound the table for? Brian Burke?
Well, often, right? That's what I'm.
Like you said, like, what is he going to come here? Wouldn't anybody that they approach do the same thing that players would do?
Well, what do you often say about the McDermott part of that? Like, he wouldn't do it unless he has another idea that is super appealing, right? And wouldn't that have to be the same case here? Or wouldn't you think it might be the same case here? I don't know. He did fire Granato, and I didn't think he was going to do that, or that they were going to do that. So,
but didn't they only do that because Lindy was available? Like, there's your example. Someone else they had in mind was there.
Right. Right. That's fair.
I bet that's how that happened.
That they did it because
they did it because they had someone else. And not just someone else, but, you know, I think these two organizations are a little bit insular. Someone else that they know and trust. That's why it happened. The idea of, you know, like, again, spinning this to the Bills.
Yeah.
If you're someone that thinks they would just go out and hire Ben Johnson, I just don't think so. I don't think that's that's how they operate. It's a lot about trust in relationships and people they know and trust, and that's how Kevin Adams got the job. It's like if you think of who they hired right off the bat, the owners, their first hire in the football department, they had Marone who left them. Then they went for Rex Ryan, who embarrassed mm-hmm. them, and they went to someone they had a better relationship with. In the hockey world, they had Tim Murray, and yeah. they probably felt that he embarrassed them, and then they wanted someone, they probably want someone better relationships, more involved, and not like necessarily meddling involved, but just people that they can trust. You're running a billion-dollar NFL franchise, multi-billion-dollar, who knows what the hockey, you're running these very valuable assets. Granted, the hockey team's not gone well. I feel like if all things equal or not even equal, but they want people they can trust. And Lindy getting that job coming back is it's kind of like an inside hire from the outside. And again, I'm fine with the move. I think it's good. I think he's plenty qualified. They're lucky that he has an emotional connection to them, but it's an inside move from the outside. It's another inside move.
Yep.
Which, let's look at the offensive coordinator job. Like, even McDermott does this. They've hired from within ultimately twice. I mean, Brady, I guess, came from the outside before that, but you know, who would it even be? I have no idea who it would be. Would Jerry Fortin be the next GM? He's been with the organization for a decade and a half.
They would just promote Carmanos or Fortin, someone that's already in the building.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they did last time.
I don't think everything has to be terrible. You know, if the coaching is good, if they have a good coach,
mm-hmm.
then they should be a competitor. They should be if they have the season they had 2 years ago, and that's in the playoffs until the final weekend,
mm-hmm.
that would extend the drought if they missed. But what would we say? Start over at GM? You might. Again, like you can change GM and not necessarily start over.
Yeah.
But that would be right back on the doorstep. When they did that 2 years ago, we were satisfied.
No, right. No one is going to say start over. Because what is start over? Is start over, I trade all my good players again?
Yeah, I mean, they're all young enough that it wouldn't even make sense.
That's what start over is. I trade Tage Thompson, and I trade Dahlin, and I trade, what, Owen Power? Like, that's what start over was last time. I traded Eichel and O'Reilly and, you know, slowly over time. Reinhardt and Ristolainen, like, I traded my core guys. And, yeah, that, I can't imagine anyone is banging the drum for that. It'll be give me a new GM. That'll be, if they miss the playoffs even by a point, I think you're going to hear a lot of that. And but how are they going to do it? Like you mentioned, like Lindy's going to be it, but it's the style that Lindy's going to play, and is it going to work where you're going to try to bring everything back? You're going to try tougher to play against, as I mentioned, and I think about, you know, how the Islanders play versus some other of the top teams in the league. Tougher to play against doesn't always have to mean good. If you can't score goals, then okay, that team had to work harder, maybe, to beat you, but they're going to beat you because you can't score goals. Whereas a soft team that you have an easy night, you have no bumps and bruises at the end of the night, but they scored 5 goals because they have a bunch of 30 goal scorers. Like, okay, they weren't tough to play against, but we lost the hockey game. So what really matters at the end of it? So it's you got to marry the two. And I just don't know that there's going to be a marrying of the two. They're going to be better defensively. Probably. They're going to be tougher to play against, I think almost undoubtedly. And if they can't score goals, which I think is my biggest concern about them, given it was their biggest problem last year, then you can be tougher to play against all you want. You're going to be right back where you were. You're going to be a 75 to 85 point team if you can't score goals. And I just don't know where that's coming from. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll get Matt Beauvais in. Matt Beauvais is going to join coming up next. I got some football. I got an Aaron Rodgers question to ask you, of course, before he'll do something in the next 3 weeks. I'm sure. So
there's some stuff out of New York, the other New York team, the Giants.
Yes.
Joe Shane and that show, right? The offseason show.
It's a Hard Knocks offseason. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting, some of the stuff that's coming out of it. And well, Joe Shane said something that callers to sports radio say all the time that was very wrong.
Yeah, we have a clip of that to play in a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is
it the trade thing?
Yes, and Beans involved in the conversation, right?
That's very tame. He also said something that is, I mean, provably untrue, and if I was a Giants fan, I'd be terrified of Joe Shane. Like, all of a sudden, if the shine isn't already off Joe Shane, who was here under Brandon Bean for many years, the shine isn't already off him. Like, this one thing he said, I would be terrified to be a Giants fan.
Oh, I don't know what this is. Okay, we'll get to that too. Matt Bovet coming up next. We'll get to that. I got a Rodgers question as well. 3 weeks till training camp, so maybe we'll throw a training camp subject around or not, or quickly coming up. Jeremy's here till 10. We've got Matt Bovet coming up. Channel 7 coming up next. 4th of July tomorrow. Weather's looking nice. Sun's out. It's going to be pretty warm today. We'll talk some more Sabres coming up next here on WGR.
I spoke about it a little bit during the playoffs where you get guys who haven't had playoff success and they get labeled as guys that aren't dogs or can't compete or can't work in a system. But a lot of that's no fault of their own. I am not a Buffalo. I'm not, because I love Buffalo and I love my time there. And I wanted to do, like I said, everything that I could to help. And I really do believe that they will figure it out. I really do, because they have people who want to be the best there and they will get it done.
Kyle Poso on the Spit and Chicklets podcast. That was him getting asked about all his former teammates, like all winning once they left. He kind of was about to go a little further down the road, it felt like, there of, yeah, these guys, of course they could win, even when they were there, like, the whole time. But he didn't go...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All the way down that path. Posa's interview was very good. He talked about how he actually missed a lot of their celebration or parade because he had to fly right back to Buffalo because of his daughter's dance recital.
Nice.
So, awesome story he was telling there on that podcast. Matt Bovet on the Wester Hotline, WKBW in Buffalo. Did development camp today? You heading down again?
No, I was there the last 2 days. I'm going to take a day off today, and then I'm actually going to go tomorrow to start the 4th of July off with a little bit of hockey. Someone else will be there, though.
Yeah, it's early enough. It's early enough in the day. Yeah. It's not interrupting any plans, I would think. What have you, anyone sticking out there?
Hellenius is good. I mean, he just looks like he's good. I mean, it's hard to compare what he can be based off of this just because he's going against other kids. But just the way he skates with the puck, I think the most impressive thing is the way that he can hold on to the puck. There were a couple different times where he just got, like, pushed to the ground and didn't give up possession and then was able to get back up, keep possession of the puck, make a play, and go and do something. I do like that yesterday when he was asked, hey, like, who do you shape your game around? He was like, Sebastian Aho. That's who I think I have a similar skill set to. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, he's a good player. That would definitely be a welcomed addition to the Sabres at some point.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to hear a bad player mentioned when you who you shape your game around. So the offseason so far, Matt, I saw you writing about this yesterday on the WKBW website. They add to the bottom six, but nothing up top, really. What's your overall? Like, is the reaction gone too far with criticism of Adams for not trading the first-round pick or not making a splash in not the trade market, just the trade market, but free agency also? What's your overall on what they've done in the last 4 or 5 days?
I don't know if it's gone far enough, to be honest. I like the moves that they made on the fourth line, but what they haven't done has completely overshadowed the things that I like that they have done. I think they got tougher to play against, but I also still, like you have said, I don't know how this team is scoring enough goals to win on a consistent basis. I really do believe that they are a couple players away from me really liking their roster, but those are notable players away. I still think this team needs a top six winger to play on the left side of their second line, and I still think this team needs a third line center. And until they address at least one of those things, I am not going to be very optimistic. I think Lindy Ruff with this team will make them at least competitive, but the goal shouldn't be just to be competitive. The goal should be, hey, let's get in the playoffs. I don't think they're that far off from that, and that's why I think it's so frustrating, because I think it's a realistic step to try and take, and they haven't done anything yet that has convinced me that they can make it.
When you heard Adams speaking about the top six forward the other day, when he said that he was open to it, did you take that more as, like, kind of like, oh, I'm set with my roster, if, you know, do anything to make the team better? Or did he give any sense that you think he's still actively looking for that?
I can't tell if he's telling us what he thinks we want to hear, or if he is trying to kind of, like, hide the fact that he is still very aggressively trying to add to this team. I just have a hard time believing that a week ago he was, literally a week ago today, before the draft, it was, we are open for business, we are willing to move the 11th overall pick. Then they make a minor trade back, and then a week later, they add three fourth liners and a third liner, and all of a sudden they're like, yeah, well, we feel good about where our roster's at. That just doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. A week ago, you were open to moving your first overall pick to try and get better, and then a week later, you add all these depth guys, and now you're suddenly okay. So I don't exactly know what's – I still legitimately think that he is trying to make an addition, which is why I want to give it a little bit of time. I'm just not convinced that he's going to be able to make a move, and that's what I'm worrying about.
Matt Bove on the Wester Hotline from Channel 7 WKBW here in Buffalo. So at this point, then, that would be prospects. I did want to ask you about the guys that are not there at development camp. How many – or even one. You think the way the roster is constructed right now, that the best case scenario is that one of those important spots that we have said, like, we want them to add to it. If they don't, though, like, isn't the best case scenario that one of the Rochester guys is just ready to go? And who for you would that be?
Yes, that's the best case scenario, but I don't want to put it up to that. And that's the thing that I'm worried that they're going to do. I think the one who's the closest to making an impact is Yuri Kulik, a notable impact. Like, I think Rosane can come in right now and probably play bottom 6 minutes, be totally fine, have a little bit of offensive upside, and still do everything that you need a third or fourth line player to play. But I think Kulik is the one who has the potential of, like, okay, this could be a legitimate scoring threat in the NHL. I don't think they're banking on that. And I don't think they're banking on that because of the way they've shaped their roster, right? Like, right now, you have an entire fourth line that's set. I think it's unrealistic to think that any of those Rochester guys can step into a top six role. So what are they? Are they middle? Are they a third line winger? But right now, then you have guys who are currently there. I can't imagine that he immediately steps in and plays center. What do you do with Peyton Krebs? So I think Kulik is at least the closest and probably the most likely to make the rosters. Or the roster next year, but I don't know if I'm, like, banking on a big impact from him.
Is there one of these names that's been mentioned as a trade idea that has not been traded, as most of them haven't? Is there one of these guys that's been reportedly out there that appeals to you the most?
Can we count as Brady Tkachuk in this conversation or no?
I mean,
I don't really think he's getting moved. Because they trade for Ullmark, like, they are very clearly still trying to win. If there is any way, shape, or form that Brady Tkachuk is available, I kind of don't care what it costs. Like, that's the type of player that this team needs and that I think could take them to the next level. But because I think that's probably a bit more unrealistic. I mean, I like Ehlers. I think that he would be a totally good fit on the second line. You know, the rumblings that were out there were they've also got Iafallo, and Iafallo is a Buffalo native. And it was like, well, if you could add both of them, then you could help your second line, you could help your third line. It would probably cost you an arm and a leg. So I don't hate that idea. Natchez is, for me, when that report came out that they were potentially interested in him, and then there was a lot of reaction online of, like, does he even make the Sabres better? I was sitting there thinking, you know, beggars can't be choosers. Like, if they think he can make the team better, I'm totally okay taking the risk, and I'm also totally okay taking the risk if he doesn't have a contract extension in place. Like, that's not somebody who has trade protection right now. I think that sometimes you have to gamble and say, okay, well, we're going to add him and see if it works out. I think winning cures all. Like, I think if you make a move and you win, and, like, these guys could see you take that next step as an organization, that would win people over. I think the people don't want to be in Buffalo thing. It's a bit overblown, because I think if you win, none of that really matters.
Okay. Last thing for me on the offseason, because next up's probably going to be RFA contracts, unless, like we've talked about, one of these trades happens. It's probably RFA contracts. Should I just assume they're going to sign Joakim Haru? Like, I heard Paul mention the idea yesterday of them moving him because he's only a year away from unrestricted free agency. What do you think? They just sign him and he plays, what, 16 minutes a night? Or maybe they would use him as a trade chip?
I feel like now would be the time to move him as a trade chip, and that's kind of what I was holding out, thinking of, like, okay, well, if you could find a deal. I hate to make the, you know, like, Ennis Weber and a second-round pick joke, because it would be much more substantial than that. But I do feel like Joakim Haru would be a valuable asset to a team. He's a right-shot defenseman. He's still young. He played pretty well last year. If you're the Sabres and you want to roll him back as, like, one of your top four guys for a short-term contract, I guess that's fine. I just think that that's another area where you could realistically improve. I think right now you have three clear-cut top four defensemen, but then you've got a couple other guys who I think would be getting forced into that role. So I'm anticipating at this point that they just sign him, because I feel like that's the way that everything is trending, but I'm a little bit surprised. I thought they would move him, just because I can't imagine them giving him $4 or $5 million and also having a ton of money tied up towards Dahlin, Samuelson, Power, and then probably eventually Byram. Like, that's a lot of money on your defense, and it's a lot of money going to a guy who I'm not sure how much better he actually makes you.
Yeah. Big 4th of July plans?
Well, development camp in the morning, and then after that I'll probably just hang out. I mean, we're going on a trip next week, so I'm kind of in, like, full work mode for this week just to get me to that point, yeah. And then I can start to relax a little bit.
Is the fourth a good golf day?
Yeah. The
courses are open, right?
Yeah, the 4th is a good golf day. I know a lot of the clubs in the area will do, like, shotgun starts in the morning, so everybody will try and get off at, like, 8, 8:30, which is perfect, okay. Because then you can be done by 12:30, 1 o'clock, and still have your entire day. And then I know a lot of the other, like, public courses are open as well. It's probably really hard to get a tee time at a public course on the 4th of July, but it's an elite way to start the day if you've got nice weather.
All right. I don't think I've ever made golf a part of my 4th of July, but, you know, not this year. We're going to the lake. Matt, appreciate the time. @Matt_Beauvais, and always game day in Buffalo, of course, on the Odyssey app. Appreciate it, Matt. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Matt. All right, there is a tweet I just saw from Doug Farrar. I'm going to read a story in the break. Jeremy, I'll tell you the headline and the picture. The headline, I guess Greg Cosell is a part of this. The headline is NFL teams don't need a number one receiver, and here's why, and the picture is the Packers receivers.
Fantastic.
So it's just the most... The Packers receivers thing is almost getting annoying to me at this point.
The Packers model.
The Packers model.
The Packers had 10 good games, and everything about them is a model.
Right. Yep. I'll see if anyone else is mentioned in here. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll get some football coming up in the 9 o'clock hour as well. It's Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. LeBron James has signed a 2-year, $104 million extension.
With who?
With the Lakers.
Oh, what?
Have you seen I saw who tweeted this? David Sampson yesterday from the Levitard Show? Or Nothing Personal is his podcast.
Okay.
Have you seen what Bronny James like consistently keeps saying? He said yesterday, quote, "I never really had a thought of me going to play with my dad."
Yeah.
Are they really just going to pretend
forever
now that oh, guys, this just kind of happened? Our scouting department never
once thought about it.
Did they ever? Have they made the comment? Oh, I want to find it now. Have the Lakers made the comment in the last 2 days, 4 days that he was the number one player on their board, or something along the lines of that?
You know what? Bronny James' career coverage is going to be on ESPN. It's going to be like playing NBA 2K, whatever, on Be a Pro mode. Where you start off in a Vegas classic and you got to get your 8 points to get some, you know, your sliders up a bit. And then the next game is in the G League or whatever. That's what we're looking for Bronny James.
Yes.
Your abilities are significantly below everybody else. Have you ever played the Be a Pro mode in the basketball game?
I have in the hockey game. I don't know if I have in the basketball.
I've played both, but the most recent Be a Pro mode I've ever done would be the basketball one.
Yeah.
And when you play that one, they make you so bad the game is not fun. Because what they want you to do is spend $50 to boost your stats.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise you are just grinding for 3 rebounds in a game to try and get your 3-point shooting up to like a 27.
Yeah.
And that's going to be Bronny James. Just we're going to watch him on Be a Pro mode.
Yeah. The what I remember about the hockey Be a Pro mode, if I remember this right, cuz it's been a few years, was you would get asked after games like media questions, and then you'd have like a multiple choice. You'd have like 5 choices of how to answer a certain question. And if you and like 2 of them would be like, "Oh, I got to give all the credit to my teammates, whatever." Like we battle.
Yes, right.
And there would be one that was like, man, you would say something about yourself, basically.
I'm the man.
Right.
I'm the man. And this team's holding me back.
If you hit that, there would be like different ratings. Like one rating, like your some rating would go up with like awareness or something. I don't know.
Or chemistry, but then you'd get more followers online.
Team chemistry would go down. Like 5% if you answered a question that way. And I think if I remember in the game, like your teammates would pass to you less.
Yeah.
In the actual game, if you basically said, "Yeah, it's all about me."
There was also a thing if you had a bad game, like you could be a point per game player. And if you had one bad game, you'd go from like a first line center to like the fourth line and you'd get like 3 minutes
benched by the coach.
These games got way too realistic. Trust me, I like it. I'm excited. The college football game's coming out in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
And I just watched Kirk Herbstreit break down the deep dive into the dynasty mode, which what does everybody hate right now in college football? Coaches hate the transfer portal.
Right.
Well, guess what? In college football, this is now going to happen to you where you spend all this time recruiting someone, and then in your dynasty, if you don't give that stud receiver some playing time in year one, he's going to enter the transfer portal.
Wait,
that's going to happen to you.
Wow, I didn't think of that.
Your players will leave via the transfer portal. You can promise them playing time. I'm just envisioning this happening where you pour all these resources into this player because he's 5-star potential, and then at the end of season one, you find out, sorry, he's out.
What we're really going to find out is this game was completely designed and restarted by coaches because they wanted everybody on their side to realize how dumb the transfer portal is or how hard it is on them or something.
Yeah. This happened to me in FIFA like 5 years ago where the game got way too realistic. Here I am managing Arsenal. Like, hey, I'm trying to have a good time. I'm going to manage Arsenal.
Yeah.
And I had them in second place or third place in the Premier League. And we played some other tournament and got knocked out by – maybe it was the FA Cup and got knocked out by like a fourth division team.
Yeah.
Because Robin Van Persie missed 7 shots from inside the box. And I got fired.
You got fired.
I'm just trying to play a video game, and the game would not let me coach the team I wanted to coach anymore. I'm sitting at home playing a video game. I got fired because I lost an FA Cup match.
So you had to take another job?
I had to restart all over again, unless I wanted to coach, you know, Altrincham or something like that. I had to go find another job or start all over again.
That's amazing.
The game really, really hit me hard, that one.
He's been fired in a video game before. Should be in the bio. Fired by Arsenal. You were fired by Arsenal.
I was fired by Virtual Arsenal. It wasn't even my fault.
Yeah.
I mean, I got, you know, my expected goals that game, Joe. I went to the board. I said, look at my expected goals.
Yeah. And that's when they really fired you. That's when they really fired you.
Right.
803-0550 is the phone number. If you got a thought on the Sabres from earlier, get some football in. I got an Aaron Rodgers question for Jeremy. I've read through this Packers blueprint piece again. It's what you've seen a million times.
It's the same old.
Yeah. LaFleur made comments, Love made comments that are going to get regurgitated, I think, for the whole offseason. 803-0550 is the phone number. Jeremy and Joe are here on WGR.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Player, and if you had one bad game, you'd go from like a first line center to like the fourth line, and you'd
get benched by the coach.
These games got way too realistic. I like it. I'm excited. The college football game's coming out in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
And I just watched Kirk Herbstreit break down the deep dive into the dynasty mode, yeah. Which, what do coaches, what does everybody hate right now in college football? Coaches hate the transfer portal.
Right.
Well, guess what? In college football, this is now going to happen to you, where you spend all this time recruiting someone, and then in your dynasty, if you don't give that stud receiver some playing time in year one, he's going to enter the transfer portal.
Wait,
that's going to happen to you.
Wow. I didn't think of that.
Your players will leave via the transfer portal. You can promise them playing time. I'm just envisioning this happening, where you pour all these resources into this player because he's five-star potential, and then at the end of season one, you find out, sorry, he's out.
What we're really going to find out is this game was completely designed and restarted by coaches because they wanted everybody on their side to realize how dumb the transfer portal is or how hard it is on them or something.
Yeah. This happened to me in FIFA like 5 years ago, where the game got way too realistic. Here I am managing Arsenal. Like, hey, I'm trying to have a good time. I'm going to manage Arsenal.
Yeah.
And I had them in second place or third place in the Premier League. And we played some other tournament and got knocked out by, maybe it was the FA Cup, and got knocked out by like a fourth division team.
Yeah.
Because Robin Van Persie missed 7 shots from inside the box. And I got fired. I got fired.
You got fired.
I'm just trying to play a video game, and the
fired.
Game would not let me coach the team I wanted to coach anymore. I'm sitting at home playing a video game. I got fired because I lost an FA Cup match.
So you had to take another job?
I had to restart all over again, unless I wanted to coach, you know, Al Trincham or something like that. I had to go find another job or start all over again.
That's amazing.
The game really, really hit me hard, that one.
He's been fired in a video game before. Should be in the bio. Fired by Arsenal. You were fired by Virtual Arsenal.
I was fired by Virtual Arsenal. It wasn't even my fault.
Yeah.
I mean, I got, you know, my expected goals that game, Joe. I went to the board. I said, look at my expected goals.
Yeah. And that's when, they really fired you. That's when they really fired you.
Right.
803-0550 is the phone number. If you got a thought on the Sabres from earlier, get some football in. I got an Aaron Rodgers question for Jeremy. I've read through this Packers blueprint piece again. It's what you've seen
it's
a million times.
It's the same old.
Yeah. LaFleur made comments, Love made comments that are going to get regurgitated, I think, for the whole offseason. 803-0550 is the phone number. Jeremy and Joe are here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.